Well, we're talking about hell. That's not a good subject in churches these days. They don't want to think about hell. A lot of denominations or cults or isms don't believe in hell at all. And it's kind of like something to be to ignore or refrain from at times, but every doctrine in the Bible is very important to understand the person of God. Every doctrine in the Bible is necessary to understand the person of God. Now, God is righteous, isn't He? Do you think that in eternity that He could stand to be with anything that was unrighteous? Now, God became flesh and dwelt among us and died on the cross of Calvary, tasted death, so that we might have eternal life. And everything else that is not redeemed is in file 13. That's in hell. Hell is not a penal colony. Hell is not a penal colony. What is a penal colony? It's not a prison to reform people. You know, in society, they have prisons. Our prisons are absolutely full because we have an ungodly society. We have people out there that have to have officers on duty 24 hours a day to keep them from beating up on each other and robbing and stealing and killing. We have gangs and we have thugs from coast to coast. I'm probably underground and in the skies, pirates and thugs all over the place. Now, there are some sins and crimes committed by people that society considers unforgivable. All right? There are some crimes committed against society that society looks upon as unforgivable, and that's what we call capital punishment. Capital punishment. That calls for the death penalty. Sometimes prisons are created to hold people that are bad, so bad that they cannot be turned out with a normal society. All right? And then some prisons are there to reform criminals, or they don't want to go back to prison. Well, when a person commits a crime against society that is so heinous that they committed first-degree murder, they planned somebody's death. And they planned it for some reason, for personal gain or whatever it was. When the jury comes in many states they call for the death penalty. All right? And in many states, child rape or child molesting is considered a capital crime. I think it should be in all of them. But these are crimes that society considers so terrible and so heinous that that person should not be allowed to go on and live. They should be put to death. Get them out. Well, hell is that kind of place. It's that kind of place. Hell is a place for capital punishment. It is eternal and it's final. Hell isn't there to reform people. If God put the devil in hell for 1,000 years, what do you think he'd do when he turned him loose? Huh? Go right back to doing what he was doing before, because that's what he is, isn't it? If God could put somebody in hell for 1,000 years and then turn them loose and put them in heaven after that, oh, that'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? But that isn't what's going to happen. The Catholic Church invented purgatory, which was a type of cleansing place. That's an invention of man, not of God. Purgatory does not exist. We use the term so many times, but the word purgatory just does not exist in the Bible. It's no such place. That's supposed to cleanse you so you can get ready for the beatific vision. Okay? But hell, and we know this to be true, God is going to give us an example of this. Over here on our chart, we see this blue squiggly line, crooked snake line, go all the way down here, and we find out that God does put Satan in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, and when he turns him loose, he goes out worse than what he was when he put him there. All of society and all of mankind evidently will do the same thing that Satan will do. So there's no reprieve from it. Now, there are basically two hells, so to speak. Did you know that? There are two hells. On this back it says, words from the original languages pertaining to hell and paradise. Sheol. See that one there? Sheol. Sheol is the place asked about. That's what it means. The name Saul, King Saul's name, means the one asked for. His name comes from the same Hebrew root as Sheol. A place of departed spirits, a receptacle for departed spirits. Psalm 16 and 10, Psalm 86, 13, Proverbs 23, 14, Judges 8, 24. And the literal use of the word is Sheol, which means the place asked about. Now, before Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, there was a different place. Now, here's the earth right here, okay? The earth is where we live and breathe and everything, okay? Above here, above the earth, right above the earth, is what? It's called atmosphere. That comes right out of Greek, atmosphere, all right? Atmosphere. That's where the clouds are and the birds fly and the airplanes fly and all that kind of stuff. That's where what we call the atmosphere, and that's called the first heaven in the Bible. The second heaven in the Bible is where the galaxies are and the other planets and everything is. And heaven also, now we're going to study about heaven next week, okay? But we're just getting a little preview of it today, this week. Heaven is to the northest part of the earth, and straight up out into the third heaven is the abode of God or the throne of God. Okay? Now, before Jesus went to the cross of Calvary and died on the cross of Calvary, rose again, Sheol and Hades, Sheol is the Greek or the Hebrew word, and then look down to the next thing there, it says Hades. Hades is the same idea, the same place, but that's the Greek word. And there's another word, Tartarus, and then Topheth, and Paradisos, and the grave quiver, or Menemion in Greek, and Abyssion, or is a no bottom, and then Hellfire, Gehenna, and Lemnon, two Pedros, the lake of fire. Now these are all referred to as hell sometimes, okay? And why did I put paradise in there also? Paradise or paradiso. The word paradise is a Persian word. It goes way back. It came from Persian. It went into Hebrew. It came from Hebrew. And it went into Greek as paradise. And it came into the English language as the word paradise. Okay? So it came through all those. But it wasn't translated. It means paradise is a guarded pleasure park. That's what it literally means. A guarded pleasure park. When Nebuchadnezzar built the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, that was a paradise. That was the word he used for them. Okay? Now, before Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, before God became flesh to redeem us, okay, Sheol, if you go out into the third heaven straight out, all right, down under the earth, it says literally down under, not in the earth, but down under the earth, way out there. Okay? Hippo under. Tata Hippo, down under the earth. If you go out there, out in that place was what was called paradise and the place of torment. The only place we have in the Bible that really talks about this thoroughly is Luke, the 16th chapter, and that was really, it gives us a real event of this, and we're going to cover this a little bit later. But when Jesus died on the cross, he went down into the paradise side of Sheol, or Hades. Okay? Hades means the place not seen. Sheol means the place asked about. He went down there, and they could look over from one place to the other. There was a gulf in between them, but they could see each other. But when he rose from the dead, he took this place and took it up to the abode of God. So now, everybody down here got to go to heaven. All right? The Jehovah's Witnesses say they don't want to go to heaven, they want to go to the kingdom. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You aren't going to get to heaven if you don't go to the kingdom. Period. You're not going to get anywhere unless you're in the kingdom of God, okay? After the paradise here, or Abraham's bosom, was taken to the third heaven. Now, why did they have to be down here before? Why? Why did this have to be here and not... Why didn't people get to go be with God immediately after they died? Before the cross. Why? The sins hadn't been paid for. The promise was there. God promised mankind in Genesis, the third chapter, that the seed of the woman would come and die on the cross of Calvary, basically, and redeem mankind. But it wasn't a done deal yet. It didn't happen. It didn't take place. The money, the redemption price, was not paid until the cross of Calvary. So there was a promissory note. There was hope. Okay? And after it was a done deal, then they took them there. But this big void place, this Hades and Sheol, is still there today, down here. That's where the unpersuaded go, those that will not believe. And Jesus Christ, according to 1 John 2:2, His blood cleanses, is efficient to cleanse all mankind's sins. Everybody that has ever been born into this world could have been saved, but some would not. And so God is not going to, in the end, He's going to say, "Thy will be done." That's what you wanted. There you go. Okay? That's it. So we got the word Sheol, we got the word Hades, we got the word Tartarus. Tartarus is a pit or gloom, pits of thick darkness like quicksand that hold captive in chains of darkness. 2 Peter 2 and 4. Tophet, 2 Kings 23:10. It's Tophet. We have an example of Tophet today. Did you know that? That you don't think about. Human sacrifice is one of them that they did. They would build flames and put babies in the bellies of these idols and burn them up. And another thing that they did in their demon worship was firewalking. Firewalking. You ever heard of firewalking? All right, this is demonic. But it typifies this thing. It typifies this Tophet. Firewalking. People will get built up in this with this evil spirit, and they'll go out there and they'll have these coals for 100 yards or 50 yards or whatever is it, and they'll walk or run across these flames and they'll take their feet and they're not hurt. That's the kind of thing that Tophet is. It comes from that term. They're going to be in hell forever in this lake of fire, and they won't burn up because their bodies are going to be resurrected eternally corrupt, but like asbestos. Okay? The word paradise, of course, that's where this side of paradise was here. It was a holding place until the cross of Calvary took place, but that was taken up later. All right? The word paradise down below, that is Hebrew. Same word. And the word grave, quiver. Quiver is a tomb. And menemion is another Greek word for tomb. And tathe is another word for tomb or sepulcher. You cannot dig a Sheol or Hades. You can dig a tomb or you can carve out a tomb out of a mountain. The Jehovah Witnesses try to say that the word quiver and the word sheol are the same word interchangeably. It is not. You cannot dig a sheol. Sheol is the place of the departed spirits. Quiver is the place for the body. Okay? Hellfire, Gehenna, Gehenon in Hebrew. Mark 9 and verse 47. The valley of Hinnom or Gehenon. And then we have the word lake of fire. The lake of fire, that's where hell is going to be thrown into the lake of fire, finally. All of those in Hades and Sheol will be resurrected and then put in the final lake of fire, or what we call hellfire. Now let's go back to your front page. Go back to the front, the doctrine of hell. I want to repeat this. It takes every doctrine in the New Testament to express what Christ has done for us in fullness. And the doctrine of hell is necessary also. Years ago, I preached on hell. I was a guest speaker. I preached on hell, and boy, they didn't like it. They didn't like it. They complained about me preaching about hell. They didn't want that. Why, this one woman, she just got saved, and everybody in her family, none of them were believers. So all of them that were dead were in hell, and she couldn't stand the doctrine of hell. So she got upset with me because I preached on hell. But I think hell is very necessary. I think it is a very necessary thing. We need to shun hell because it's real, people. It's there, and it is eternal. It isn't for a while. It's not a place of reformation. You're not going to go to hell and then get a way out. Why, the Jehovah's Witnesses talk about a second chance. Your Seventh-day Adventists. Your Seventh-day Adventists share the doctrine of redemption with Satan. They say that hell is only for Lucifer. No one else. It's only for Lucifer. And that he was our scapegoat, that he goes and suffers in hell for eternity for all mankind, because mankind doesn't have to go to hell, because Lucifer is going to go there and suffer for us. Who? She's a Seventh-day Adventist? Well, they want to be accepted as Christians today. But their doctrine of redemption and the Christian doctrine of redemption is not the same. It is a shared redemption. That redemption is shared with Satan, Lucifer. And of course you have the Mormonism that teaches that Lucifer and Jesus were brothers. Okay? Now we've covered this a little bit. Well, let's go back up to number one. When it comes to talking to somebody and witnessing to somebody like that, you have to witness to them with very basic things about who is Jesus, what did he do for them, who is Jesus, is he God in flesh that came down here, is he the only one that's going to keep them out of hell, is he the only one, why will you go to heaven, you know, and the very basic, like you would deal with a child almost. And yeah, I know you work in children's ministry. Where is hell located? Proverbs 15:24 and Revelation 5 and 3 and 5 and 13. All right. Sheol is down under the earth, below the earth, not in the earth, but under. If you go in here, every place is up when you're in the middle of it, isn't it? You know where down is, out of the earth. But down under the earth, it's down under the earth. All right? Down under the earth. Let's look at a couple of these. All right? Proverbs 15 and verse 24. Is anyone there? Are you there, Kathy? Already? Okay.
The path of life leads upward for the wise to keep him from going down to the grave.
All right. The path of righteousness is upward. And Revelation 5, 3... and 5 and 13. Revelation 5 and 3, 5 13. Are you there, brother?
Yes.
What is your name again?
Ross.
Ross.
Yes, 5 3. And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it.
That means down under the earth. Down below the earth. All right? down below the earth. And 5:13.
And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth,
all right,
such as are in the sea and all of them are, that are in them, I heard them saying.
Down under the earth again. That's not in the earth, but down under the earth, below the earth, below the planet Earth.
In reference to the Holy Land, is that where you take the reference of what's up and what's down?
You go to the northest part of the earth, and you go up. The northest part of the earth, which would be the North Pole, and go straight up.
Okay.
All right? Ezekiel 3:31-17. Ezekiel 31:17. Isaiah 14:9. Okay.
Hell from beneath is excited about you. To meet you at your coming, it stirs up the dead for you. All the chief ones of the earth is raised up from their thrones, and all the kings of the nations.
All right. The first part of that reads what?
Hell from beneath.
Okay. Hell from down below. Hell is down. Heaven is up. All right. Ezekiel 31. There was that. Ezekiel 31. Do you either have that, Kathy?
Those who live in its shade, its allies among the nations, had also gone down to the grave with it, joining those who killed by the sword.
All right. Down to the grave there is actually Sheol. It shouldn't be the grave. It should be Sheol, the place of the departed spirits. Sometimes they use it interchangeably, but it is not. For whom was hell prepared now? Who was hell prepared for? Matthew 25:41. Matthew 25:41. Marilyn, do you have a Bible? You don't have your Bible tonight. All right. Brother John, are you there? Matthew 25:41. All right. That's who it was prepared for, wasn't it? Matthew 25:41. You know that anyway, don't you?
Yeah.
What translation do you have there? All right. Read that for me.
25:41.
Yeah.
And he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels.
Eternal fire. That is the final place, the final abode of hell, and it's called the lake of fire. All right? The lake of fire. All right? Okay, that hellfire is this hellfire and the lake of fire are basically the final abode of all the wicked, which is eternal hell. Okay? Lake of fire and the Lemnon to Perus. And Gehenna are the same place. All right? That's the same place. Now, Sheol and Hades are the same place today. Now, the only people in Hades and Sheol today, there is no paradise left there. It has been moved. Okay? And it said hell was enlarged after that. Number three. How is hell described in the Bible? Revelation 20:10-15. It's talking about the lake of fire there. Are you there, Ross?
Yes.
Okay.
Revelation 20:10.
Okay.
The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are.
Okay.
And they will be tormented day and night forever.
All right. They'll be tormented day and night forever. That's eternal hell. This now, we have all people that are in eternal hell have been resurrected out of Sheol and Hades. Okay? Sheol and Hades is still in existence today. It's the same place. But people are there in spirit and soul suffering there today. But that isn't the final abode of them. Then they are resurrected in their corrupt bodies and they are thrown into the lake of fire, which will burn forever and ever. And this is worse. You know, a lot of people don't know about the two different forms of hell. They don't even know about it. One's a holding place. All right? Until the second resurrection, which nobody wants to be in the second resurrection. First resurrection, Marilyn.
Whoever is in the first resurrection
Yes, it is. Yes. There are different places, and some places in the lake of fire are more tolerable than others. Okay, now nobody wants to be there.
Let's go find the cool spot.
Yeah, I don't think there's a cool spot, but I think there's some places there that are less, because Jesus said it's more tolerable in the lake of fire or in hell for Sodom and Gomorrah than it will be for you. More tolerable means what? Exactly what it says, more tolerable. Less torment, evidently, in some places. And you'll be put, they're the same way in heaven. There are going to be stages of glory in heaven. We're not all going to be resurrected in the same glory. All right? It does make a difference what you do for the Lord in this life, I guarantee you. And it does make a difference how bad you are in this life. It does. Because God is going to be totally just. We've heard Roger say that, and Phil, how many have you really ever thought about that? Revelation 20 and 10, and what? Where did you finish there, Ross?
20, 14 and 15. This death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
All right. Now this is Hades and Sheol are cast into the lake of fire. So there's the end of Hades and the beginning of hellfire, eternal hellfire. But it is worse because these people, now they were suffering in spirit before and in their souls were suffering, but now they have real bodies that are burning in there, but not burning up forever and ever. They're like asbestos. The term is asbestos. We get our term asbestos from it. Immune from the flames. All right? Revelation 21 through 3. Revelation 21 through 3. Brother John, are you over there?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand.
Okay, let's stop right there. The word abyss, it comes from awe and beson. It literally means no bottom. The keys to the bottomless pit is a place of no bottom. And out in outer space, there is no bottom, is there? We talk about, now the scientists talk about black holes. Did you know that? They talk about black holes where there is an intense heat in there, but it does not shine. It sucks up all light. And when you go in there, it so compresses everything that you could take a universe and put it like your thumbnail in there. And it is captured and it is timeless forever. That may be one of those black holes, may be hell or the bottomless pit. Go on, brother.
Verse 2, and he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years.
Put him in the bottomless pit. He's in the abyss.
Threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him so that he should not deceive the nations any longer until 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time.
All right. Now, this is not punitive. The bottomless pit isn't punitive either. It isn't a place of reformation. It isn't a penal colony to make them better. I remember one guy told me one time that he was caught in the act of adultery in Arkansas, and at that time, if you were caught in the act of adultery, you had to go to the chain gang, the prison camp. And he said they threw him in the chain gang, and he escaped. And he came to California and he said, I will never go, they will kill me before they put me back in that chain gang. And he said, I don't want to ever do anything to get back in jail ever again. So evidently it worked, didn't it? That did work. But the bottomless pit is not a penal colony. Who is in the bottomless pit right now? Spirits and angels that are so wicked that they cannot be turned loose on the earth. That's who's there today. During the tribulation period, God is going to turn loose some of those things on this earth. Some of those spirits and angels that were so wicked that had to be locked up in these chains of darkness. Okay? Matthew 25 and verse 4, this is scary, isn't it? It is bad. Aren't you glad the Lord saved you? Do you know what He saved you from now a little better? We can't see the complete work of Christ until we even look at hell. Matthew 25 and verse 41. 25 and verse 41. Are you there, Kathy?
Then He will say to those on His left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels.
All right, now let's go all to Luke the 16th chapter. Luke chapter 16. Luke 16. And look at this together. This is not a parable. I want you to write that out someplace, because some Bibles has the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. It's not a parable. This is a real, true event. This happened. This is history. This is a historical fact. All right? We're going to talk about some of the torments. Now, what kind of senses do you have? What senses? What are there?
See, hear, smell.
Taste.
Feel.
And feeling.
Touch,
feeling. All right. We have all of those. And there's another one that you don't think about. It's emotion. Emotion. All right. So we have sight. We have hearing. We have smell. We have taste. We have feeling. We have touch. And we have memory and emotion. All right. Do you love? Do you have somebody you love? How does that affect your heart, your emotions, your guts, your liver? A long time ago, they thought that the seat of affections was in your belly. And when they talked about that, it talked about if you love someone, you love them from your liver or from your guts. You are the love of my guts. When you get nervous or something, sometimes do you have butterflies? See, that's your colon having little fits, your intestines wiggling in there. And that's where they thought the seat of the emotions was, in your lagna. All right? So we have these senses. We have sight, hearing, smell, taste, feeling, touch, and we have emotion and memory. All right? Those are real. All real, aren't they? Let's go and look here at this. Luke 16 and verse 19. Brother John. Certain. Underline certain. A specific. You can put down the word specific with certain. This is a real person. There was a certain what? All right. Now, in some of the oldest manuscripts, his name is Dives or Nineveh. All right. Dives or Nineveh. He had a name. Okay. This man had a name. And what happened to him now, Brother John?
And he eventually dressed in purple.
All right, he was rich. He was dressed in purple, so meant he was royalty. He was some king. This guy was a king somewhere, probably a king of Nineveh. All right. And then verse number 20, Brother Ross.
20. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with crumbs which fell from the rich man's table.
All right. Now here's a specific, a rich person, not a rich person, but we have a rich person, and now we have a poor person, and they both have names. Okay? Now this poor man, his name is what? Lazarus. And he was laid at the gate, covered with sores. I don't know what he had, what kind of disease he had, but he had sores all over him, longing to be fed with the crumbs from which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. What does dogs do when they lick something, Mom? Got antibiotic in it, doesn't it? Isn't that what they say? Huh? Well, that, they say that, that the dog licks himself because that he's putting medicine on himself when he licks himself. So they were licking this poor man and trying to make him better. The dogs had mercy upon him. The animals. The animal kingdom had mercy upon him. Verse number 22. Young lady back there, are you there in verse number 22? Can you read that for me?
The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. And the rich man also died and was buried.
All right. That came to pass that the poor man died and he was carried away by the angels. Now, two times in your life, you will meet angels if you're saved. All right. Two times in your life, you're going to meet angels, whether you know it or not. One of them, the Ark of the Covenant. If you look up there, you will see the ark, the tabernacle, and in that Holy of Holies there, where that Shekinah glory of God is, down in there is the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant was a box. And on that box, on top of that box, there was two images. What were the images? Two cherubim. They stood there with their wings touching out in the middle or toward each other. And you know what they stood for? That's the Ark of the Covenant. The covenant means the contract between God and Israel. The contract was that every year that they would bring blood there on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, and they would put the blood right there, right underneath on what we call the mercy seat, the kafar, the covering of that Ark of the Covenant. Blood would be sprinkled on there, and we have two angels witnessing. By the Old Testament says, by two or three witnesses, let everything be established. So we have two witnesses, angelic witnesses, witnessing to the forgiveness of sins. So when you ask God to forgive you of your sins, when you repent of your sins and ask the Lord to save you, when you come before the Lord, those angels are going to be there witnessing that. That's what that Ark of the Covenant stood for. Okay? So you're going to meet those angels there. Now, I think maybe the same angels that witnessed your salvation are also the two angels that are going to come for you, for your spirit and soul, when you die. What happened here? Read that verse again now. The last verse. Verse number 22.
The beggar died. And the angels carried him into Abraham's side.
Oh, the angels. Probably the angels that were there when he asked the Lord's forgiveness. Okay? These are the witnesses. All right, Brother Ross.
Many references to Abraham's side or Abraham's bosom.
Uh-huh.
You say that's synonymous.
That's part. That is, it is in Sheol, but the whole area was Sheol. Okay? The whole area was Sheol. When Jacob, when they took off Joseph, remember that? When they took Joseph and they pretended that he was slain by a wild beast and they took it down there, they kept saying, he said, why, he'll die. And he told them one time, he said, you're going to bring my gray hairs down to Sheol, the place of departed spirits. I will leave this world and go to Sheol the next time you trick me. So don't do it. All right? Sheol, the place of the departed spirits. That was a certain rich man that lived, and the poor man lived there. These were real people living in a real place. And then we have the poor man died, and he was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man died and was buried. Doesn't say anything about being escorted. But where does he end up? And in Hades, or Sheol, all right, Hades and Sheol. Hades is the Greek word for the same thing as the Hebrew word Sheol. Hades means the place not seen. Sheol means the place asked about, which is the same place. He lifted up his eyes. Being in torment. Eyes. He could see there. He saw. Being in torments, plural. and saw Abraham far away. Seeing Abraham was one of the torments. Evidently, he could see into paradise. The unpersuaded, wicked departed could see into paradise, and that was one of the sufferings in hell. Far away, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agonies," plural, "in this flame." All right? Now, he's thirsty. He's hungry. He wants one drop of water in this flame. So he's feeling, he's seeing, he's hearing all of the senses. And by the way, this guy doesn't even have a body at this time. He has only a form of his soul there. But that form of his soul could see. It could hear. It could touch. 25. Ross.
But Abraham said, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted in your torment."
All right. But now he is being comforted here, and you are in agony. Why was the rich man there? Because he was rich? Can a rich man go to heaven? It's difficult, but they can. Because the riches usually keep them out. But they can go to heaven. Why, there was the Pharisee named Nicodemus, evidently, that went to heaven. And there was Joseph of Arimathea, that was a very rich man, and he probably went to heaven. All right? There were kings that were saved down through the ages. And I'm not talking about Charlemagne or any of those guys that were part of the Christian crusades or anything, but there were people that really believed. Number 26, Kathy, what does your translation say?
"And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us."
All right, that is the once you get over here, it is the place of no return. Not going to get out of there. You can't get out of there. You can't go over there.
That, you mentioned earlier, you know, this is frightening stuff. That's what's very frightening to me, is that once the door is closed on this life, there's no second chance.
No.
And so many people I meet, and the attitude we all have, I guess, is that, oh, there's always tomorrow.
Yeah, but we don't have tomorrow. We don't have tomorrow. You don't have anything but today. We have today only, and not even all of that. You have the moment. Number 28. Shirley, can you read that? Number 28. 27.
"And he said, then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house."
Now, what did he have that else did he have here? Remember, I talked about the five senses, and we talk about the sixth sense. What was number six?
Emotion.
Love and emotion. Feeling. Okay? What did he want?
He said, "For I have five brothers, that he may warn them, lest they also come to this place of torment."
All right. Now, this wasn't hellfire either, people. This is Sheol. This is Hades. This isn't eternal hell now. This was the temporary holding place. Number 29. Kathy.
"Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them."
All right. They have Moses and their prophet, the prophets. Let them listen to them. Why? They could hear it. The gospel, even the creation itself, preaches that God created, doesn't it? There is no man any place in this world out in the darkest part of Africa or South America or any place that doesn't know there's a God. Why, who was that blind girl that couldn't hear, see, or anything? What was her name? Helen Keller. When they finally could communicate with Helen Keller, they asked her, "Do you know about God?" And she said, "Yes." She knew about God because it is put in our bosom. We have something there that is a vacuum that wants to draw us to God. And for us to shut that voice up, we have to try to do it. You have to try to do it. It says the fool said in his heart, "There is no God." But that's not what it said in the original language. You know what it said in the original language? The fool keeps on saying in his heart, "No God, no 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 God." Every time the voice of God touches his heart, he says, "No God, no God." You have to keep turning down God until finally you get out there so far and it's too far. And there's no way out. There's no way back. Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them heal them." Now verse number 30, Ross.
Said, "No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent." Continue?
Nope, just sit right there. But he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes back to them from the dead, they will change their mind." Metanoia. They will completely repent. They'll know better. Now, let's just think about this for a while. Was there anybody ever raised from the dead in the Old Testament that we have proof of? Do you have a prophet that raised the dead in the Old Testament? Remember Elijah? Remember when he raised the widow's son? There were people raised from the dead. Did Jesus ever raise anybody from the dead? Yeah. Now, Jesus has died on the cross of Calvary and he was resurrected. How many people don't believe today or have some false religion that they're holding on to? The cults and isms out in the world today, they don't want to believe in hell. That's one of the things about a cult. The cult denies hell. Garner Ted Armstrong, the Worldwide Church of God, Herbert W. Armstrong, the Seventh-day Adventist, or adventurous, as I call them, the Jehovah Witnesses, all of them don't want to believe in God, and they all change the nature of God. Oh, God wouldn't put anybody in hell. The God of heaven couldn't stand anybody to be in his presence that wouldn't believe, and that was wicked. Heaven wouldn't be heaven if it had some hell in there. Or the inhabitants of hell, would it? They all believe in there's some way either God's going to annihilate them or whatever, but hell is as eternal as eternal heaven. Number 31. But he said to them, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be," what? "Persuaded if someone raises from the dead." And there was. Jesus raised many people from the dead during his ministry. There was even a resurrection, at least of the partial resurrection of those that had died before, because it said the graves opened up. And those that had died walked among them as a witness. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He said, "Talitha kumei," in Aramaic, by the way, that's Aramaic. He said, "Talitha kumei," he said, "maid, arise." And that girl was dead. There were several people that Jesus raised during his ministry from the dead. All right, number 5. Who shall have part in hell? Revelation 21 and verse 8. Revelation 21 and verse 8. That girl can get over there faster. Kathy, go right ahead.
"But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexual, immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars. Their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death.
All right. Let's read that in the New American Standard also. That was good, but let's read it in New American Standard there. Brother John, are you there? You're at Revelation 21 and verse 8. Let's look and see what it says. All right. 8. Mm-hmm. Now, hold that. We're going to read that again, Kathy. All right. Read that.
But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
All right. All of those people, those are the people that are unpersuaded. Those people were persuaded by the lust of their flesh. Go back and read those again, Kathy. What does they say there now?
That the cowardly.
Cowardly. Cowards? Cowards. What is a coward? Huh? One that won't face up to things. That's a coward. And number two?
The unbelieving.
Non-believing. The ones that are not persuaded. Okay? The vile, that means the filthy minds, filthy habits. All right?
The murderers.
Murderers. All right?
The sexually immoral.
Sexually immoral. That's homosexuals, people. That's who that is. Sexually immoral people. All right?
Those who practice magic arts.
Okay, those that are witches.
The idolaters.
Idolaters. Those that worship idols, even in religions. All right?
And all the liars.
All the liars. Perjurers, that is the term. Perjurers. That's the people scheming. Do you know you have to watch your pocketbook, you have to watch your check account and everything because of those people? That's the problem. Right there. Anything else left there?
Their place will be in the fire and lake.
All right, their place, their home will be that fiery lake burning with sulfur. How many of you ever been burned by sulfur? That stuff will burn all the way through you, people. Number 6. Is it possible for a person to be of good moral character and still go to hell? Luke 18, 19 and 14. 19 through 14. Luke 18, 19 through 14. 9 through 14. Yeah, that's it. I said the wrong thing. 19 through 14. That doesn't even make sense. All right. And he also told his parable to certain ones while they were trusting in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others as contemptuous. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood praying to himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, swindlers and unjust adulterers, and even like that tax gatherer over there. I fast 2 times a week. I pay my tithes of all that I get. But the tax gatherer, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner, the sinner. He knew that he was a sinner. And then I tell you that this one went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, but he who humbles himself shall be exalted. All right. One was a very religious man. He was a Pharisee. Pharisee, it comes from the word pharis. It means to separate. All right. It means to separate. He was separated. Separated from all others because he was holier than they were. The Pharisees, they were Pharisees of Pharisees also. That was the elite sect of the Pharisees. The elite sect of the Pharisees. They were more holy than all, even the rest of the Pharisees. The Apostle Paul was one of those. The Apostle Paul was one. Was the Apostle Paul saved while his name was Saul? He was religious. This was one of them right here. This could have been Saul right here. All right, let's go on. So religious people can go to hell. Now, number seven, is it possible for a person to be highly religious and still go to hell? 7:21 through 23. The religious leaders of Israel were hell-bound. Look at that. Matthew 7:21 and verse 23. Are you there, Ross?
No, I'm sorry.
How about you, Kathy? Are you there?
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven.
All right. What is the will of the Father? To believe in the Son. To accept Christ as your sacrifice, to repent of your sins, and call upon Him to save you. What is the revealed endurance of the suffering in hell? Revelation 14, 10, and 11. Revelation 14, 10, and 11. Did you go get your new Bible, Marilyn? Mm-mm. This bad girl. You get an F for today. Kathy.
He too will drink of the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of His wrath. He will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb.
All right. So they are going to be judged and thrown into this lake of burning sulfur. And Mark 9:43-48. All right. Let's look at that. That's another term. This is the term for Gehenon, or the Valley of Hinnom. Who is there? Mark 9:43-48. Now, I'm trying to hurry along here a little bit. Are you there, Kathy?
Yes. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go to hell, where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life crippled than to have two feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched.
All right. What's this talking about? The garbage pit of humanity, file 13 of humanity. A long time ago, when they had dumps, they used to keep the dumps burning all the time. If you kept the dumps burning, it would kill the flies and maggots. But even though they were burning, there were still flies out there, weren't there? They kept on burning, but the flies kept on producing and the maggots kept on crawling. And that's a type of those in hell. All right. A type of those in hell. Is it possible to escape? Once one is committed to hell. No. We learned that in Luke the 16th chapter, didn't we? All right. Is it God's will that men should perish? 1 Peter or 2 Peter 3 and 9. 2 Peter 3 and 9. Who is there? 2 Peter 3 and 9. Kathy?
The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance.
All right, how old you are today, if you don't know the Lord, that's mercy. That's mercy. He gave you this much life, if you don't know the Lord, that you might be saved. You're not guaranteed one more second, one more minute, one more day to repent. And if you don't repent, you're going straight to hell. You'll go straight to Hades when you die. You'll die here and lift up your eyes in torment. Did Jesus warn of the danger of a reality of hell? Luke the 16th chapter, verses 19 through 31. We looked at that, didn't we? We sure did. That's a true story. When men end up in hell, who is to be blamed? Huh? Themselves. You did it to yourself. You know, the Lord tells us in the model prayer, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done. God won't make anybody be saved. He will draw you with His Spirit, but He will not break your spirit. He will not break your volition and cause you to be saved. That is you. And that volition is what will put you in heaven or in hell, and it has nothing to do with God at all. God does not want anyone to go to hell. He provided for all of them. But we end up there, and then God says, Thy will be done. Do you think Jesus went into the regions of hell Acts 2, 25 through 31, Revelation 1 and 18, and 1 Peter 3, 19 through 20. All right? Let's go to 1 Peter 3, 19 through 20. And then Hebrews 2, 14 also. I'm going to turn you loose here in a few minutes. I don't want to cut you short on the class, but 1 Peter 3, 19 through 20. Who has that? Ross, are you there?
I'm going to Hebrews.
Oh, you're going to John.
Verse 19, in which also he went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison, who once were disobedient, when the presentations of God kept waiting in the days of Noah, during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water. And corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
All right. Jesus is what the Latin, in Latin it says it is the term descensus ad inferos. Descensus ad inferos. The descent into the infernal regions. Jesus went down there. We do find something else right here that is very beautiful. I want you to see this. There were people that were saved on the outside of the ark. Did you know that? People were saved on the outside of that ark. It talks about those that were disobedient. It said only eight people got in the ark. But it said some were disobedient, and they were down there also. But they were saved, but after the judgment came. What happened to everybody on the outside of the ark? They died. Some of them died believing. They didn't believe until the judgment came. This is a type of what?
The tribulation period.
The tribulation period. It's a type of the tribulation period. There are people that won't believe in the church age. They will go in. The rapture will take place. The ark will be taken up with the waters. They will be locked out of heaven for the time being, and they will be on this earth, and here comes judgment. And we find out that many people are going to be saved during the tribulation period, but they are going to be killed. They are going to die. First of all, they won't be able to even work unless they got the mark of the beast. They can't get into heaven once they have the mark of the beast, so they are going to die. They are disobedient. People on the outside of the ark were disobedient. I think when the rains came and the floods came, many believed, and they were clawing and scratching at that ark, but the door was shut. But they believed. They were probably asking God to forgive them with their last breaths. And of course, some remained disobedient. All right. Some just remained disobedient. Psalm 96 and verse 10 is another verse also. And who's got Hebrews 2:14? John? Oh, you've got it. Ross.
Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil.
All right. Death. Death is something that every man's afraid of. Every animal's afraid of death. You know why animals get scared and run? They flee when they see something in danger. Why did they do that? Because they are afraid of death. If they weren't afraid of death, they would be dead real quick. All right? Now, we have a survival instinct in all of us. Okay? But we all have to face death. That is an appointment. Hebrews said, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. You have to die. Okay? What do you do in this life? You better prepare for your death. Before you die, you better make sure that you have a place in heaven. And how do you do that? That's part of it. What kind of a gospel did John the Baptist preach? Same gospel that we've always had. But what did he preach? Repentance. All right? Now, we need to repent of our sins. What does that mean? That means that we need to realize that our sins separate us between us and God. All right? We need to repent of our sins, and we need to call upon Him to save us. The only thing that's going to get you into heaven is the blood of Jesus Christ. In other words, you believe and you ask forgiveness. All right? You ask for, you believe, you repent, you believe, and basically it all takes place just about at the same time. But so many people, you're not going to get in heaven with a model prayer, people. Don't ever think that. Just because you went through the rigmarole down in front of the church or at home someplace, and you went and repeat after me this model prayer, if there was no repentance and there was no godly sorrow, if there was nothing inside of you reaching to God, the mouth didn't do it. I remember one time, there was a lady who was a Catholic. Her name was Etta Myers. She went to the seminary with me for 12 years. I went to seminary for 12 years. She went to seminary with me for 12 years. She was a devout Catholic. She came from Hungary, and she was persecuted over there, and her husband got killed. She came to America, and she went to the Catholic Church every time it was open. And one of the people at the church down there, in the little Bellflower Missionary Baptist Church down there, where the seminary was, they asked her to come to the seminary. They had services there on Sunday morning and Sunday night. Brother Roy Reed was a pastor. She heard him preach. And that morning, she went there, but she had gone to the Catholic Church first. She came there, she heard the real gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. She repented of her sins, went down there and fell on her knees in front of that and asked the Lord to forgive her and save her soul. He asked the Lord to forgive her for being a religious idolater. And she said, I accepted God with all of my senses. I remember one time when she got up and gave her testimony in front of the chapel class like that. Brother Reed says, write that down, boys. That's a real sermon right there, accepting Christ with all of your senses. And she did. And I tell you what, I never saw a woman. She was 80-something years old and still in love and hungry for the Word of God. She'd go to every class. She'd sit in my Greek class, my Hebrew class, everything. I mean, she was there. Take turns going from classroom to classroom. That was the rest of her life. Because she accepted the Lord with all of her five senses. And the sixth one, which one is emotion also. On the next page is, how can a person escape the wrath of God? John 3:36. John 3:36. Yeah. Yes.
So Jesus did go into the region of
hell. Sheol. Mm-hmm. He went to Sheol. And he told them, that's where everyone was. They saw him over here too. They saw him from that side. They saw the Lord of heaven, the Lord of glory, Jehovah, standing over there in Sheol and telling to them, I have died for your sins. The payment is paid. You get to go to heaven now. All right?
That's where
everyone was at that time.
But now,
he took them up. When he rose, he took them with him.
I know it, but not the saints. How about not the saints?
Oh, the dead are still there.
They're still there.
Those dead in their sins are still there. How can a person escape the wrath of God? John 3:36. Brother John.
He who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him.
He has life if you believe. If you don't believe, you don't have life. The wrath of God abides on you right now. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9. Let's look at that. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9. Are you there, Ross?
Yes.
Okay.
And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with a light vengeance, flaming fire taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. He shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from his glory and his power.
All right. Jesus is going to be revealed from heaven, the apocalypse. That's the word apocalypse. He's going to be uncovered. The whole book of Revelation is the apocalypse. That's what it talks about. And Jesus is going to be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels and flaming fire, power and glory and fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey, that are not persuaded by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power in that bottomless pit, in that lake of fire forever and ever, in that black hole that sucks in everything forever and ever. And by the way, they say that time does not exist in the black holes. Time does not exist. It's all now. Forever. Well, that's the doctrine of hell. That's the doctrine of hell. Brother Ross.
The one other verse that always sticks in my mind, Acts 4:12, nor there is there salvation in any other, for no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved.
That's right.
So
there is no other way.
The cults, how they always want to twist and subvert,
yeah,
and add to.
Mm-hmm. They always change the person of God, the plan of salvation, and most of them try to do away with hell. Because they don't want to believe in it. You don't have hell to shun, do you? If you don't believe in hell, I heard a lot of people, I don't believe in hell. Hell's right now. No. I tell you what, this world is terrible. It's got a little taste of hell. It's a little previews of hell. But I'm going to tell you, hell's got all of them there. There is nobody else. They're all wickedly religious, bad, or thugs and thieves. That's what you're going to have company with in hell. That's all there is. And lots of torments. And a lot of those fire walkers. Because everybody's going to be walking in the fire. But I'm going to tell you something, and every one of them's going to have asbestos feet too, but they're still going to hurt. They're going to be thirsty. They're going to be hungry. Gluttons will be in hell. Gluttons will be in hell with nothing to eat or nothing to drink. That was their god in this world, the gluttons. The gluttons of sexual immorality, perversion, all of this. There won't be any of it there. They'll have none of that. They'll have none of their gods with them. None of their gods. Well, thank you for attending. Thank you for being here. This is a hard lesson, but like I said, next week we get to study about heaven. That's a better place, isn't it? We're going to study about heaven. All right. That's a much better place. Heaven. All right. Valhalla. Instead of Hades. Valhalla. All right. Let's be dismissed and go out and do something eternal. Brother Ross, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Thank you, Heavenly Father, again for this opportunity to gather together to study your word, to have your spirit.